Today's Dhamma talk is dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada. This is very profound teaching of the Buddha. What is Paticca Samuppada? It shows the causal of the realm of existence is closing the conditions that sustain the wheel of birth and death of beings, and makes it revolves from one existence to another. Now, samsara. It explains how beings arise and pass away in the cycle of birth and death. Paticca Samuppada is very profound teaching of the Buddha. One day, Venerable Ananda sit in the meditation and recollected this Paticca Samuppada. And this Paticca Samuppada, or called dependent origination, appears very clear in his mind. So he also delighted, and he approached the Buddha and told Buddha, Venerable Sir, wonderful it is. Venerable Sir, marvelous it is. This doctrine of cause and effect is not only deep and profound, it also has signs of being deep and profound. But to my mind, it seems to be evident and understandable. But the Buddha forbid him to say so. Buddha said, Ananda, say not so, Ananda, say not so. Profound indeed, Ananda, is this dependent origination, and deep does it appear, Ananda. It's through not understanding, not penetrating this doctrine, that these beings have become entangled like a met ball of thread, become like munja grass, unable to pass beyond the woeful states of existence and escape from the realm of samsara, the cycle of existence. So why being cannot escape from the four woeful states? Because they cannot penetrate into this dependent origination. In order to get it for a round of suffering, the round of, or the cycle of birth and death, you must understand this dependent origination. According to the dependent origination, there are 12 links. The cycle of dependent origination. There are 12 links in this dependent origination. What are they? Number one, ignorance. Dependent on ignorance, karmic formations arise. Dependent on karmic formations, consciousness arises. Dependent on consciousness, mind and matter arise. Dependent on mind and matter, six sense bases arise. Dependent on six sense bases, contact arises. Depend on contact, feelings arise. Depend on feelings, cravings arise. Depend on craving, clinging arises. Depend on clinging, becoming arises. Dependent on becoming, birth arises. Dependent on birth, aging, sickness, death, lamentation, sorrow, pain, despair, thus arise the whole mess of suffering. Okay, what's the formula of dependent origination? When this cause exists, that effect comes to be. When ignorance exists, karmic formation comes to be. When there's karmic formation, then consciousness comes to be. This is the formula of dependent origination. With the arising of this, that arises. When this cause does not exist, that effect does not come to be. So when the ignorance does not exist, then no karmic formation. When there's no karmic formation, no consciousness, no rebirth consciousness, and so on. So this is the formula, important formula of dependent origination. It shows only cause and effect, not a permanent self undergo the cycle of birth and death. Okay, so in the dependent origination, we start with ignorance, avijja, paccaya, sankhara. Now, what is ignorance? Ignorance, now dependent on ignorance, karmic formation. So let us understand what is ignorance first. Ignorance has the characteristic of mental blindness or unknowing. Not only unknowing, also know wrongly. I will explain to you in detail later. And the function of ignorance is to confuse, make a person confused, make your mind confused to the truth nature of things. And the manifestation of ignorance is conceal the true nature of objects. What's the true nature of objects? Or the true nature of phenomena? The true nature of phenomena are impermanent, suffering, and impersonal nature. But ignorance covers it, conceal the true nature of things, that you become very confused. Then you see everything as permanent, as self, as happiness. So this is called mental blindness, ignorance. In Abhidhamma, we have 8 types of ignorance, or not knowing of 8 facts. Number 1, the truth of suffering. Number 2, not knowing the origin of the truth of suffering. Number 3, not knowing the cessation of suffering. Number 4, not knowing the path leading to the cessation of suffering. Number 5, not knowing the past 5 aggregates. And number 6, not knowing the future 5 aggregates. And number 7, not knowing the past and the future both, 5 aggregates together. And number 8, not knowing the specific conditionality and conditionally arisen states, including karma and its consequences. So if we often say ignorance. So ignorance means not knowing these 8 facts. And because of not knowing these 8 facts, a person performs karma. So dependent on ignorance, karmic formation arises. Karmic formation, we call sankhara. Avijja, paccaya, sankhara. What is karmic formation? There are 3 types of karmic formations. Number 1, formation of demerit. All the unwholesome things, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, intoxicants, telling lies, harsh speech, frivolous talk, backbiting, and one more, harsh speech. All these are called formation of demerit. Another one, number 2, formation of merit. All the good things, generosity, keeping the 5 precepts, 10 precepts, come for meditation, and attain the jhana, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, all this wholesome deed called formation of merit. And number 3, formation of imperturbable. This refers to immaterial jhana. We have a material jhana up to 4th jhana. After that, we go beyond it. We attain nothingness. Sorry, the boundless space in material jhana. Then from that, we go to the boundless of consciousness in material jhana. And then we go to nothingness of the boundless of nothingness in material jhana. And the last one, the highest immaterial jhana, is neither perception nor non-perception. So this fall in material jhana is called formation of imperturbable. So dependent on ignorance, a person cultivate karma, perform karma. What type of karma they perform? Formation of demerit, formation of merit, and formation of imperturbable. So in our round of rebirth, sometimes we perform good deeds, formation of merit. Sometimes we perform bad deeds, formation of demerit. And sometimes we cultivate immaterial jhana, and so on. Okay. Now, let us see, how does ignorance condition karmic formations? How it occurs? The first, not knowing the noble truth of suffering. What's the noble truth of suffering? Five aggregates of clinging. I often told you already. So when a person not knowing the five aggregates of clinging is the noble truth of suffering, then they wrongly perceive this five aggregates of clinging to be pleasant. Ignorance has two meanings. One is unknowing. The second one, know wrongly. So this person, a person, not only not knowing the five aggregates of clinging is suffering. Not only not knowing, but also know wrongly that five aggregates of clinging are very pleasant. That's why he performed karma. He performed akusala karma or unwholesome karma to get the five aggregates again. Or sometimes he performed formation of merit. He performed good karma to enjoy the life, enjoy his five aggregates. Or sometimes he performed formation of imperturbable. He attained the immaterial jhana in order to gain another life. Because he perceived, he wrongly know this aggregates of clinging. Clinging either one to this aggregate is a pleasant thing. This is how the ignorant condition karmic formations. Okay, the second one. Not knowing craving is the origin of suffering. Ignorant does not know craving is the origin of suffering. Not only not knowing, but know wrongly that craving is the origin of happiness. So the eye constantly want to see the agreeable visible form. The ear constantly want to hear the sweet sound, the pleasant sound. And the nose constantly want to smell the good smell. And the tongue constantly want to taste the good food. The body constantly want to touch the soft, tangible object. Because they think this person, a person think this craving for this six sense object, all this bring happiness. So they wrongly perceive, craving is the origin of happiness. That's why they perform formation of demerit. In order to get this craving, which he wrongly thinks is happiness, so he has to do something. Maybe do something bad to get this craving, or sometimes he do something good, formation of merit, to get this craving, which he thinks is the happiness, is the origin of happiness. Or sometimes he thinks that he attained in material jhana is also the origin of happiness. That's why we say, dependent on ignorance, karmic formations arise. Is it clear? Okay, next one. Unknowing about the cessation of the suffering which is nirvana. Now we are talking about not knowing the four noble truths one by one. So not knowing the third noble truth, the cessation of the suffering, which is the nirvana, one misperceives the cessation of suffering to be in some particular destiny, such as heaven, pure land, or Brahma world. So if you do not understand Nibbana is the final cessation of the suffering, you think reborn in the heaven, or reborn in the pure land, or reborn in the Brahma world, like what Indians believe, that reborn in the Brahma world is eternal happiness. So if you think like that, if you think wrongly, believe wrongly, or you perceive wrongly, then you will do the action which will bring you to the Brahma world, which will bring you to the heaven, which will bring you to the pure land. And when you reach there, then you understand this is not Nibbana. Nibbana is cessation of mind and body, cessation of greed, hatred and delusion is called Nibbana. So not knowing that, we perform formation of demerit. For example, one of my fellow nuns, in one of her past lives, she was a wife of Brahmin in India. So Brahmin, they worship God. She was a wife of Brahmin. She constantly urged her devotees to slaughter chicken to worship God, his Brahma God. So she urged people to kill, to commit killing, because she wrongly believed that worship, slaughter animal to worship God can bring her to the heaven or to the Brahma world. And because she wrongly, or she didn't know, she unknowing, actually cessation is only Nibbana. So he misperceived this killing animal, slaughter animal to worship God can bring her to the cessation of all suffering, which she think is in Brahma world. Then finally, after she passed away, in one of her life, this urging people to kill, this karma ripened. And during her dying moment, she saw so many chicken pecking her. And after that, she was reborn as chicken. So not reaching the Brahma world, but reaching the chicken world because of ignorance. So because of ignorance, she performed formation of demerit. Sometimes we perform, for example, we pray. All the time we pray this God, pray that God, and recite the God's name. Then this is formation of merit, but it bring you to the, maybe bring you to the pure land or bring you to the heaven, which is not the cessation of suffering. When you reach in the heaven, when the karma at that heaven exhausted, when that good karma exhausted, you still have to come down again, whether in the human world or in the four woeful states, according to your karma. Okay, then sometimes we perform a formation of imperturbable. Those who believe immaterial jhana is the cessation of all suffering. So they work very hard in this life to attain immaterial jhana in order to be reborn what he thinks is the cessation of suffering, which is not. So this is how the ignorance condition karmic formations. Okay, the last one. Not knowing the path, which is Noble Eightfold Path, one misperceives the path as in animal or human sacrifice, or worshipping the god, the trees, fire, or certain rites and rituals. In India, during Buddha's time, there are so many ascetics that practice self-mortifications. They torture their body because they think all the defilements, all the corruption of the mind come from the body. So they practice self-mortification, like fasting, one day only eat one grain, you know, or stop breathing, or naked in the winter, or sleep on the thorns, and so on. This is called not knowing the right path, which is noble eightfold path, and they misperceive some other path, like self-mortification. And finally, they reach, do not reach the Nirvana, but reach to the four woeful states and so on. So this is how ignorance conditions karmic formation. Okay, now we go to the second link. Dependent on karmic formation, consciousness arises. How do karmic formations condition consciousness? In this link, very few teachers can explain well this link. How do karmic formations condition consciousness? Okay. Consciousness here refer to resultant consciousness. There are two resultant consciousness. One is called rebirth linking consciousness. Another one is called consciousness in the course of an individual existence. Okay. Before we know what is rebirth consciousness, let us study the 31 plane of existence first. We live in this universe we call 31 plane of existence. In this 31 plane of existence, the top one is called neither perception nor non-perception, followed by nothingness, infinite consciousness, and infinite space. This four plane of existence is called four immaterial sphere planes. Only for those who attain immaterial jhana can be reborn there. Then the following one, we have 16 five material sphere planes. For example, now you are practicing jhana. During your dying moment, if you can maintain your jhana, either first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, or fourth jhana, then you will be reborn in one of these 16 five material plane. Okay. Then somebody, when they perform good deeds, after passing away, they're reborn in human realm or six deva realm. And those who perform unwholesome deeds, during the dying moment, this unwholesome deed ripen, then they will be reborn in one of the four woeful planes. So we have 31 planes of existence. Okay. Now, in the first link, we already mentioned ignorance depends on ignorance karmic formations. Because of ignorance, we perform different types of karma, good action, bad action, or jhana, and so on. And all this action, whether good or bad, leave behind karmic potency. Leave behind karmic potency, just like a seed. When you throw on the ground, when this seed meet with right condition, for example, enough sunshine, water, and fertile soil, then this seed will sprout into a small tree. So this seed has potential to grow. So also our karmic potency, our karma, every action once performed leave behind this potentiality. So when this karmic formation meet with right condition, it will produce rebirth consciousness. We call rebirth linking consciousness, either in sense sphere plane or fine material sphere planes or immaterial sphere planes. Either one, depend on what type of karma ripen at the time of death. Are you with me? Can you follow? It's a bit complicated, Okay. So, dependent on karmic formation, consciousness arises. So the first one is rebirth consciousness. So if that karmic formation is formation of demerit, then this rebirth consciousness will arise in which plane? Which plane? Yes, four woeful states. And if this formation is merit, formation of merit, ripen at the time of this person's death moment, then the rebirth consciousness will arise in which plane? In the six sensuous blissful plane. And if this person die still possessing the immaterial jhana, the formation of imperturbable. So when he die, this karma will produce rebirth linking consciousness in the four immaterial sphere planes. This is how karmic formation condition consciousness. Is it clear? Okay. Let me explain further. How do karmic formations condition consciousness at rebirth? Okay, let's say a person has done a lot of bad karma, bad actions, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and so on. At his dying moment, he saw fire. He saw fire. This fire is called Gati Nimitta, the sign of destination, which indicates he will be reborn in the hell. Those who work in hospital will understand this very well. Because a dying person, usually they will see some sign indicate where he will be reborn. So this person, because of formation of demerit he performed, then in his dying moment he see the fire. Okay. Then he see the fire, then his mind, all this circle is thought moment, I'm not going to deal with this one. So at this we call a near-death cognitive process. Then take this fire as object. Then the death consciousness arises. DH is death consciousness. Death consciousness arises, then pass away without a gap. Rebirth consciousness, RB, rebirth consciousness arise, taking this fire as object. So where he takes his rebirth? In the hell. So this is how karmic formations condition rebirth consciousness, or karmic formations condition consciousness at rebirth. Okay, let's see another example. A person who always performs good deeds, or maybe he always offers the rose flower to the Buddha. Then during his or her dying moment, a sign appears. He sees the flower or the color of the flower, the rose or lotus flower, and so on. Then he passed away. He passed away, then rebirth consciousness arises, taking this flower as object. So which plane of existence she reborn? Which plane of existence? Either in Deva or in human world. It cannot be Brahma because there's no jhana. And it cannot be four woeful states because it is formation of merit, good karma. So taking the rebirth consciousness, taking this color, this flower as object, then rebirth consciousness arises in the sensual plane, either as human being or heavenly beings. Okay. Now a question for you. This person passed away, died, this rebirth, dead consciousness. After that consciousness, rebirth consciousness, arises in a new existence. So, can we say it's a soul from the past moved to a new life? This person, this dying moment, taking this color of flower, then just pass away. Then rebirth consciousness arises in a new existence. So can we say it is a soul from the past moved to a new life? Can we say that? If you say that, if you believe that there's a soul from the past moved to a new life, this is called eternalism, wrong view. The wrong view of eternalism. You believe there is a permanent soul from one life move to another life. 这种叫常见。 But another question, can you say this rebirth consciousness, new life, has nothing to do with the past? Can you say that? No. You already know why rebirth consciousness arises, because of past good karma. Because of past good karma, the rebirth consciousness arises in this life. So it's something to do with the past. If you say it's nothing to do with the past, this is another extreme wrong view. We call wrong view of annihilation. 断见。So you must be careful. Avoid these two extreme views. Avoid these two extreme views. And the Buddha says, dependent on ignorance, karmic formation arises. Dependent on karmic formation, consciousness arises. Dependent on consciousness, mind and body. This is called right view. Right vision, correct vision. It means that everything arises depend on cause and effect, not a permanent soul migrate from one life to another life, or the new life has nothing to do with the past. So the middle path is dependent on ignorant karmic formation, depend on karmic formation, consciousness, depend on consciousness, mind and body. This is called the middle path, the right view. Everything depends on cause and condition. Okay. Another example, a person performs a formation of imperturbable, immaterial jhana. So how do karmic, this formation, condition, consciousness, every birth? For example, he takes space as object, the boundless space as object. So during his dying moment, he enters into this boundless space in material jhana. So after that, dehash is death. After that consciousness, rebirth consciousness arises in immaterial realm. So this is how karmic formations condition consciousness at rebirth. Is it clear to you? Is it clear? Okay, now we go to another one. Dependent on consciousness, mind and matter arise. Here, consciousness means resultant consciousness. Rebirth linking consciousness. Depend on rebirth linking consciousness, arise mind and arise matter. Here mind including, we have five aggregates. Consciousness aggregate, formations aggregate, perception aggregate, and feeling aggregate. So here mind refer to feeling aggregate, formation aggregate, and perception aggregate. These three aggregates arise together with consciousness aggregate. And the matter is the matter born of karma. Because of arising of rebirth consciousness, the matter, the body also arise. This is called consciousness, dependent on consciousness, mind and matter arise. how consciousness condition mind and matter at rebirth. So when a person, during his dying moment, because of his good karma, he saw the flower, the sign of karma. Then after death, rebirth consciousness arises, taking this flower as object. So at this moment, they are one at the rebirth consciousness moment, rebirth blinking consciousness moment, there's one consciousness we call rebirth consciousness, plus 33 mental factors, plus 3 mental aggregates, and the 30 mental arise together, like sex vikhet kalapa, body vikhet kalapa, and heart base vikhet kalapa. So at the rebirth blinking moment, the sex is, whether he's female or male, is already determined. And the body decay kalpa is already arise, and the heart base also. So this is how consciousness conditions mind and matter at rebirth. If you don't understand this point, it's okay. You just remember, because of consciousness, then the associated another 3 mental aggregates and matter arise. That's all. Then dependent on mind and matter, 6 sense bases arise. What are the 6 sense bases? Eye base, ear base, nose base, tongue base, body base, and mind base. Mind base refer to consciousness. So mind and matter here, mind here refer to 3 mental aggregates. And the matter here refer to the matter produced by our karma, or the 4 elements. So depend on the 4 elements, the eye base, ear base, nose base, tongue base, body base arise. And depend on the 3 mental aggregates, then the consciousness aggregate, which is my base, also arise. Okay, depend on 6 sense bases, contact arises. So what are these contexts? Sense objects. When sense objects impinge sense bases, then the consciousness arises. The meeting of these 3 is called contact. For example, visible form, sense object, or sound. The sound is called sense object. The sound, contact, impinge sense bases. Impinge ear sensitivity, then ear consciousness arises hearing the sound. So the meeting of sound, ear sensitivity, and ear consciousness, the meeting of these 3 is called contact, ear contact. Okay? So also other contact. So we have 3, we have 6 types of contacts. Eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, tongue contact, body contact, and mind contact. And depend on contact, feeling arises. The moment the eye sees something which is very pleasant, which is very agreeable, then the pleasant feeling arises. Different kind of feeling arises. I would like to explain a little bit what is this feeling. Feeling, the characteristic of feeling is experiencing. The function of feeling is to exploit the stimulus of the objective field. And the manifestation is pleasure and pain. And the proximate cause for the feeling is contact. So in our mental aggregate, that's one we call feeling aggregate. This feeling aggregate experiences the pain and the pressure of the object, or the desirable or undesirable aspect of the object. And feeling is not I. We often identify feeling as I. When you experience something pleasant, you say, I experience pleasant feeling. So you identify feeling as I. Please remember, feeling has the characteristic of experiencing the desirable and undesirable aspect of object. So if you experience something good, it's the characteristic of feeling, not you experience it. It's the mental aggregate of feeling which experience it. If you can see in this way, then you will never identify feeling as I. So it's this feeling that experiences the desirable and undesirable fruits of an action done in this or in the previous birth. So in a past life, you have done a karma, whether good karma or bad karma. And this life, you experience the fruit of that karma. It's not you experience that fruit, it's the feeling which experience that fruit. And feeling is not I, not a person, not a being. Okay? So when the six sense object impinge on the respective six sense spaces, six classes of feeling are formed. Feeling born of eye contact, feeling born of ear contact, feeling born of nose contact, feeling born of tongue contact, feeling born of body contact, and feeling born of mind contact. So there are six types of contact, so they have six types of feelings. And this six type of feeling also can be divided into pleasant feeling, painful feeling, or neutral feeling. So 3 times 6, how many feelings you have? 18. 18 types of feeling. You must know your feeling come from which contact, ear contact or nose contact or body contact. And this feeling sometimes can be pleasant one, sometimes can be unpleasant, sometimes can be neutral. And feeling is not I. Don't identify feeling as I. Okay. Feeling, Buddha say, is like a bubble, perishing immediately after it forms. Whatever feeling, whatever one feels, is included in suffering because of its change. Feeling is very impermanent. It arises and passes very quick. So if you cling to feeling, then you cling to impermanence. When you cling to impermanence, you cling to suffering. Okay, dependent on feelings, craving arises. Craving includes all forms of greed, desire, lust, yearning, longing, affection. So what is characteristic of craving? Being a cause of suffering. And the function? To delight. When craving arises, you delight this and delight that. And the manifestation is insatiability. Feeling, the craving, sorry, the feel, craving cannot be satiated. You never feel satisfied. When you have a small house, you want a big house. When you have a big house, you want a bigger one. When you earn 2,000 a month, you want 3,000 a month. When you earn 3,000, you want 6,000 a month. So craving cannot be insatiated. And what's the cause of craving? Feeling. Feeling is the cause of craving. Okay, dependent on feelings, craving arises. Since we have six types of feelings, we have six types of craving. Craving for, number one, craving for visible object. Number two, craving for sounds. Number three, craving for smells. And number four, craving for taste. And number five, craving for tangible objects. And number six, craving for mental objects. Where does craving arise and take root? It's very important because craving is the origin of all suffering. So we must understand where does craving arise and take root so that you can prevent, stop the craving. In the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness, the Buddha said, where there is delightful and the pleasurable, there craving arises and takes root. When you think something is delightful, then craving arises. Forms, sounds, smell, taste, tangible objects and mental objects are delightful and pleasurable, then craving arises and takes root. Whenever your eye come to contact with pleasant forms, your ear come to contact with pleasant sounds, your nose come to contact with pleasant smell and so on, then craving arises and takes root. Craving is the most powerful factors in the wheel of life are ignorance and craving. Ignorance is shown as the past cause that conditions the present. Ignorance depends on ignorance karmic formations. This past cause are dependent on karmic formations, consciousness, now present life. And craving is the present cause. Now you have craving this and that, craving for sound, form and so on. And this condition the future rebirth. Because craving is the origin of the truth of suffering, and craving brings renewal existence. Dependent on craving arises clinging. What is this clinging? Clinging means intense craving. Very intense craving. The characteristic of clinging is ceasing. The function? Not to release. When you hold on, you don't want to release, don't want to let go. This is called clinging. The manifestation, strong form of craving and as false view. There are four types of clinging. Clinging to sensual pleasures, clinging to false views, clinging to rights and riches, and clinging to doctrine of self. I don't have time to go for detail. Okay, we continue. Depend on clinging, arises becoming. Becoming here is karma process becoming or volition. Any karma you perform that leaves behind karmic potency is called becoming. So becoming including both moral and immoral actions which constitute karma. It's called becoming. So you may ask, before that we say dependent on ignorance arise karmic formation. Now dependent on clinging arise becoming. Also becoming is also karmic formation. What's the difference? So the difference between karmic formation and becoming is that the former karmic formation pertains to the past life. And the latter, the becoming now, dependent on clinging arises becoming now, this pertains to the present life. Dependent on becoming arises birth. What's the meaning of birth, jati? The first manifestation of any aggregates in a new existence. For example, in human existence, the manifestation of five aggregates, materiality aggregate, feeling aggregate, formation aggregate, perception aggregate, and consciousness aggregate. So the manifestation of this five aggregate is called birth in the ultimate sense. And dependent on birth arise aging, death. So birth leads to decay. What is decay? Bodily deterioration such as loss of teeth, grey hair, wrinkles, loss of memory and so on. You understand this well. Okay, then death. What's that? Break up of aggregates. When you die, the aggregate breaks up. The mental aggregate going on, then the bodily aggregate abandoned. Then sorrow, in the course of life, we meet with sorrow. What sorrow? Burning in the mind. Then lamentation, crying out after loss. Then we meet with pain in the body. Then we meet with grief, pain in mind. Then we meet with despair. Extremely burning in the mind, loss of hope. So in the course of existence, we always meet with decay, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. Thus arise the whole mess of suffering. Okay, so we are talking about all these 12 links. These 12 links are dependent. Let us recite together. Dependent on ignorance, karmic formations. Dependent on karmic formations, consciousness. Dependent on consciousness, mind and matter. Dependent on mind and matter, six sense faces. Dependent on six sense faces, contact. Dependent on contact, feelings. Dependent on feelings, cravings. Dependent on cravings, clinging. Dependent on clinging, becoming. Dependent on becoming, birth. Dependent on birth, aging, death, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, and so on. So this process is the endless process of arising and passing away of mind and matter, dependent upon conditions in which there is no semblance which can be taken as I, myself, or Atta, permanent self. So these 12 links all are only mind body, arising and passing away one after another, dependent on cause and condition. You shouldn't identify, we should not identify like ignorant as I, feeling as I, craving as I, clinging as I. No. It's just an arising and passing away of mind and body dependent on condition. And the process of arising, of passing away, is nothing but a series of suffering. As said by the Lord Buddha, what is impermanent is suffering. So the Buddha says, suffering exists, but no sufferer. Suffering exists, but no one undergoes suffering. And Buddha teach this dependent origination just to show there's no creator. No creator who created this suffering. Now suffering arises dependent on cause and condition. And also to show there's no permanent I, no permanent self who undergo the cycle of birth and death. We say there's self, we have two types of truth. We must understand. In this world, there are two types of truth. One is called conventional truth. Conventionally, there's a self. Okay, I, Sister Susila, you, Maureen, another name and so on. Yes, conventionally, yes, it's true. But if you can penetrate into this person, what composed this person is only five aggregates, or mind and body. So mind and body, five aggregates, are ultimate truth. But we live in the conventional world, so we must also accept conventional truth. But if we only stay in the conventional truth, we are unable to get rid of suffering. If you only stay in the conventional truth, you also must understand ultimate truth. Only then it brings you happiness. So in the conventional truth, we say there's one person undergo the cycle of birth and death. It's also true. But you also must understand behind the conventional truth, there's ultimate truth, which is only mind and matter, arising and passing away of mind and matter, dependent on cause and conditions. Only then your understanding is called correct understanding, right vision. Okay. So this dependent origination can be divided into three periods of time. Number one is called past. Past, we have ignorance and karmic formations. And because of past, now present arises. Consciousness, rebirth consciousness, mind and matter, six sense spaces, contact, feeling, craving, clinging, becoming are all happening in the present time. And because of craving and clinging and becoming, then future, there's birth, decay and death. So to explain dependent origination, you must understand these three periods of time. And there are three rounds. Number one is called round of defilements. Ignorance, craving, clinging belong to round of defilements. And because of this defilement, we perform karma that lead to round of karma. This karma including karmic formation, all the formation of merit, demerit, imperturbable, all the good action, bad action and so on. So once this action are performed, leave behind result, karmic potency, which will produce round of result. What are the round of result? Rebirth consciousness, mind and matter, six sense spaces, contact, feeling, and so on. And so long the round of defilements are not uprooted, then the dependent on the defilements, like ignorance, craving, then one perform karma again. Once karma performed, then it leads to round of karma. The karma leaves behind karmic potency. Then this karmic potency ripens, it leads to round of result again. And because our refinement still not been uprooted yet, we perform the karma again. The karma leaves behind result potency. Then this potency ripens, it leads to round of result again. So the three rounds will continue revolve as long as round of refinements remain intact. And in this dependent originations, there are two roots. One is called ignorance, another one is called craving. These two root causes are responsible for our suffering in the cycle of birth and death. Two root causes, ignorance and craving. So who creates the suffering? Not the creator, but the ignorance and craving. So what should you tackle? What should you careful is these two, couplet, ignorance and craving. What's ignorance? Not knowing the four noble truths is ignorance. What's craving? Craving for six sense objects, craving for life, craving for existence. It's a craving. Craving for six sense object and craving for existence, blame the life going on again and again. And these cravings are based on ignorance. This craving arises because we do not understand four noble truths as they really are. If we understand the life is suffering, then we don't want the life to be carried on again. Then we walk the path, noble eightfold path, in order to eradicate all the defilements so that we reach the final cessation, there's no more rebirth. When there's no rebirth, there's no aging, sickness and death. So samsara, the cycle of birth and death, is this 12 links, from the ignorance up to aging and death. So when a person attend, how to stop this samsara, how to stop this cycle? By the attaining, by the attainment of arahant path and fruition knowledge. When a person attain arahant path and fruition knowledge, then ignorance ceases. When ignorance ceases, the whole chain of dependent origination breaks down. So when ignorance ceases, karmic formations cease. When karmic formations cease, consciousness ceases, mind and matter cease, six sense spaces cease, contact ceases, feelings cease, craving ceases. When there's no craving, then there's no clinging. When clinging ceases, no becoming. When becoming ceases, becoming means karmic formation or karmic energy. When there's no karmic formation, then there's no birth. Birth does not arise. When birth does not arise, decay, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, despair do not arise. Thus, the entire mess of suffering ceases. So, what is the path leading to this complete cessation of suffering? They must have a way to get rid of it, to get out of this suffering, to get out of this cycle of birth and death. They must have a way. And the Lord Buddha has found out the way. What is the way? The Noble Eightfold Path. So the Noble Eightfold Path is the only way leading to the cessation of all sufferings. And what is this Noble Eightfold Path? Next time. We didn't have time to go, to carry on. Okay, so today is the end of my talk on dependent origination. Any question? I know it's very profound, I try my best to make it clear. Okay.
When you said that past life karma can create feelings, I didn't understand how that happens.
Past life karma increase?
At one point there were mental feelings. Death, like karma, also creates feelings.
I didn't say that.
I think you said past life karma is a serious
experience. Right. The effect is experienced as feeling. Feeling experience that result. Not I. For example, you suffer from, suffer back pain. It sometimes this back pain is due to your past karma. Due to your past karma, you suffer. But we say I suffer is conventional truth. In an ultimate truth, feeling suffer, unpleasant feeling, experience that unpleasant result. What I mean is that is this one. Okay. Craving. Okay. If you eradicate ignorance, only arahant can eradicate ignorance. And craving, if you attain, for example, anagami, the third stage. The third stage, anagami eradicate craving for reborn in sensual plane, sensual sphere. But he still has craving for reborn in immaterial world or material world. So according to the sequence, a person must eradicate craving first. Craving for sensual pleasures, then he become anagami, third stage of enlightenment. Only then he reborn in the immaterial world, then he carry on, then he eradicate the craving to be reborn in fine material world and immaterial world as well as ignorance.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of times karmic seeds.
Karma?
Yeah, karmic seeds, rather than according to conditions. Where are they stored? I mean,
in the mental stream, in our mental stream.
Mental
the mind and body, as I said, like just now I mentioned the link, because our mind runs as following the cognitive process, one mind after another. Yes, the circle moment. This is called mind moment. My moment. So the mind runs following moment by moment. So following moment by moment, all the karma store in this metal stream, we call stream, because it flows moment by moment. All the mind moment, all, because it never stops. Just like a river never stops flowing. So this mind moment to moment always flow from this life to the next life again and again. So all the karma store in the mental stream of an individual.
Just why do they stay together and why don't they just go to the space and
whatever those
things? I don't know, maybe why, but you know, that's where maybe...
It's the nature, just like a seed has the karmic potency, a seed has the potential to grow. So that's the nature of the karma.
No, I understand that. I mean, maybe that's where, let's say, my understanding of self, or there's something that it's just you, unique. Even though there's no self experiences, you know, feeling the same pain, but then those karmic seeds make you. And that's where my understanding of self comes in. Like I cannot, you know, say there's no self because I'm still individual because of those karmic seeds. You know, so why do they stay?
That's like karma Buddha say, there are four things you should not think about it. If you think about it, you will become crazy. One of these four is karma. One of these four is karma. It's too profound. It's beyond our comprehension. Only Buddha can understand. Another one is Buddha's knowledge. Also, you cannot think about Buddha's knowledge. If you think about it, you will also go to crazy. It's beyond your comprehension. Karma also beyond our comprehension.
So, will your knowledge become arrogant? You may understand that?
Not completely like Buddha. You may understand which karma produced this.
No, not which, but just how the karma produced
it. Only this Buddha's knowledge, not our knowledge. Even arahant cannot understand fully, maybe partially. Okay, last question? No. Okay, let me stop here. Thank you for today's.